RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wednesday morning, what's up? Michael Phillips here. MP on the mic. That's the show. It's also an app. It's the Odyssey app. It's free. Download it. It's got the rewind button. It's also a podcast. MP on the mic on all major podcast platforms. You know we got plenty to say about the upcoming NFL draft today. Of course, lots of Commanders coverage, as we'll continue to have lots of Commanders coverage through the weekend into Monday until whenever it is we put a bow on this thing. I'm excited for the Friday morning show, right? We'll be smashed between whatever happens in the first round and whatever happens on night two. I think there's growing momentum that the Commanders might pick twice Thursday night, that they might trade back in. Obviously excited to see which way that goes and why they'd go that way. I am a little scared to move back in chasing a tackle. We'll go into that at 10:15. At 10:30, we've basically done no chatter about the other 31 teams. Other teams will be participating in this year's NFL draft, is my understanding. We'll dive into that for a bit as well. Just because we're a local show doesn't mean we can't have opinions about other things going on. Also, we weren't on the air Tuesday because there was Flying Squirrels baseball, which means I didn't properly get an opportunity to laugh at Sean Payton and the Broncos, which is one of this show's favorite hobbies. They traded for Zach Wilson, which is just, that's a gut buster right there. We'll take a moment and appropriately mock them for doing something ridiculous. That's what we'll do. At 11 o'clock, Mike Svetitz joins the program. He does that every week. We love our time with Mike. Probably do a little recap of our night at the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame on Saturday night. Induction ceremonies were here in Richmond. Very successful evening. Got 9 new people into the Hall of Fame. Successfully inducted. Didn't lose anybody along the way. Everything smooth there. We may have a special guest today. That's exciting. I don't want to tip my hand because if the special guest doesn't show, we'd look stupid. And we don't want to do that. That's not in the cards for today's program. So we'll keep that close to our vest. At 11:40, and this is fun. So a lot of the Commanders beat writers, a lot of names you know, of course, John Keim, Nikki Javala, Ben Standig, J.P. Finley, the day-to-day crew in Ashburn, of which I was a part for about 10 years, and now am no longer a part, but still I was told I am an honorary member. So I was given the phone number and allowed to participate. We all have our various contents and places. John Keim gathered us. Everybody made their prediction for number two. So we'll play that at 11:40. You'll hear a lot of names you recognize. Keim, Javala, Finley, Standig, etc. Everybody's going to make their predictions at number two. It's a fun segment. You'll hear a lot of consistency, and we'll dive into that, of course, at 10:15. Last night, Washington Capitals lost. They're down 2-0 in the series. It doesn't look good. I'm not mad. I don't know. I thought that went as well as that could have gone. They played well. They had a wild finish. They were in it to the buzzer. They had a shot there with about 3 seconds left, got the puck in front of the net. It's kind of all I wanted out of this series. They haven't embarrassed themselves in either game, I haven't thought. The goaltending's been solid, if not spectacular enough to win. Look, they got a power play goal, been waiting on that for a while. Then they gave up a shorthanded goal. Didn't like seeing that. It was a fun game. It was back and forth. There were goals. They had the lead twice. They had a fun finish. At this point, I'm ready to just not be swept. Got two in D.C. coming up. I'll be there Sunday. I'll give you the report on Monday. We're having a busy show Monday because we'll have to wrap up two nights of NFL draft and my trip to D.C. And that's going to be a late night trip to D.C. So we're going to need a little energy on that one. That's going to be a coffee powered show right there is what that's going to be. I just want them to win one in D.C. They call that the gentleman's sweep when the other team goes up 3-0 in a best of seven. And then the home team wins the fourth game and then is taken care of in the next game. So it's obviously a sweep, but it's a gentleman's sweep. They go back home for one additional game and do that. Everybody's mad about the TJ Oshie hit. And the refs were bad all night both ways, right? Like Oshie just smacked a guy in the face with a stick and it wasn't called. So it's hard for me to get worked up or like chalk this one up to the refs. I'm just a little surprised we're dealing with this in the playoffs in the biggest games because it should have been a penalty, but Oshie smacking a guy in the face with a stick should have been a penalty too if we're calling this what it is.
If we're getting picky.
And look, that wasn't the reason they lost, and they had opportunities, and I think they've acquitted themselves well as a playoff team, which was all the talk coming. Your worst playoff team since 1991. You get over yourselves. They are in the spot.
Yeah.
There are rules. They are. This isn't the NFC South team making the playoffs because one of them has to. They beat out legitimate other NHL teams for the spot. They've acquitted themselves nicely. The Rangers are good. They've come to play. They tweaked their game, just denying so much stuff. Still fun to watch. Fun to watch playoff hockey. So many good games going on. I mentioned we weren't on Tuesday. We weren't on Tuesday for what was probably the best night of NBA all year. That was a phenomenal night of NBA with the Sixers finish and then the Lakers finish. I picked the two losing teams there. I don't know why. Two teams blowing leads late. Really good night of basketball. We'll dive into all that if we've got time later. So Commanders Draft Talk, 10:15, and most of the show, if we're being honest, Mike Svetitz joins us and we'll have the beat writer mock draft to end today's program. Of course, though, we don't go any further without a Richmond Flying Squirrels update. Now is that time. All right, Squirrels were on yesterday instead of this program. That's all right. We'll give Trey the time. Trey doesn't get enough radio time during the summer. It's good. He can have some of mine, too. We'll share. Trey can have all the radio time he wants. 7,198 at the Diamond yesterday for an 11 o'clock start.
Woo!
That's a lot of
kids. That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids right there.
That's a noisy stadium.
That's a noisy stadium. That's a lot. That's a tough day for Nutsy is what that is. No rest for Nutsy. 7,000 kids in attendance. Having fun and going nuts and screaming their heads off for Nutsy. Squirrels were the winners. Are we going to play is this Luis Toribio?
It sure is.
All right, Luis Toribio, why don't you bring home the first run of the game?
Hyde is set. Pauses for a moment. Now fires. A line drive over to left center field. Falls for a base hit for Toribio. Wyatt scores. Brown's racing around. He scores as well with no throw from Rhodes. Two more runs score for the Flying Squirrels on a single from Luis Toribio. And it's 5-0 Richmond in the home half of the third.
There we go. Those were the fourth and fifth runs scored. Toribio also brought in the first run, but he did it by grounding into a double play, which is not an RBI. You get the run, not an RBI. He is not credited on the stat sheet with bringing in the run. If you are responsible for two outs, but you bring in a run, cancels itself out.
No flowers for you.
Nope. No ribby for you, Luis Toribio. But he got two more later in the game. Victor Barracota with an RBI single as well. Squirrels back at 500. 8-8. They, of course, play tonight and for the rest of the week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night games at the Diamond. Sunday matinee. Tonight, dogs admitted free at every Wednesday home game. There you go. Bring your dog out to the Diamond. Maybe they can catch a baseball.
Maybe they can catch the flying squirrels.
Maybe they can catch Nutsy. That's a rough night for
dangerous.
Nutsy, too. This is back-to-back rough nights for Nutsy.
I hope Nutsy got some sleep.
7,000 kids and then dogs tonight.
Dogs everywhere.
That's a rough one, too, for Nutsy as a squirrel. The dogs seeing a giant squirrel.
I don't think Nutsy was consulted when we made the schedule here.
Nutsy did not sign off on Education Day, followed by dogs bark at the park night. That's a rough one, too, for Nutsy. Flying around this morning's headlines, Jason Nelson, and this was yesterday, but we didn't get to it yesterday. He's in the transfer portal. He posted a note saying farewell to VCU. He says, "The city is always in my heart. My love and support for VCU will never change." As we get into portal season, and this one surprised me the least, because the minutes weren't there for him, and I think the minutes weren't going to be there for him. But it represents something a little bigger, which is this whole Richmond thing, which I was excited about, right? Excited to have local kids on the local team. It didn't pan out for Roosevelt Wheeler either, and I think Fats Billups is also going to be in a struggle for minutes. Obviously, I hope all those guys come back and stay. And of course, you're allowed to come back when you're in the transfer portal. But I was hoping that would be a cool thing for the next few years, a core of guys. But it looks like there's going to be some headed for the door action. We'll see a lot of movement over the next couple weeks. Obviously, these guys will reload as well. Chance to get some good players, chance to get some size, hopefully, in the portal. Jason Nelson, though, his farewell note, he tagged VCU basketball and the Pepas. There aren't a lot of places in America where the departing players thank the band. This is a special place. I like that. I like that for Jason Nelson. I like that for the band. I like that for VCU, right? They're enough of the fabric of the school and the fabric of the program. Get the shout out on the farewell note. Breaking news this morning from the world of college football, Reggie Bush will get his Heisman Trophy back today. Long overdue, of course, in this age where anybody, Caleb Williams got, what, $1 million this year to play football? Reggie Bush got a car, got his Heisman taken away. I'm glad Reggie Bush's Heisman will be reinstated. A lot of the former Heisman players came out and created that. They said they were going to quit attending the ceremony until that got fixed, until he got his Heisman Trophy back. Absolutely the right decision there. But of course, our main topic today and every day for the rest of the week is the NFL draft, is the Washington Commanders, is what's going to happen at number two. I think the drama is largely behind us. Is it a big deal? Was it a big deal? Is it going to linger? We'll take on all those questions and more. Phone lines belong to you, 833-804-0910. We're off and running on a Wednesday morning. It's MP on the mic. This is 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. All right, NFL draft, that's what we're here for. That's what we're counting down to Thursday night, which is, I'm not good at math, about 36 hours away. 34 hours away. We're 34 hours away from the NFL draft. Here's what's going to happen. I'll break it down for you. They'll start the NFL draft at the regularly scheduled time. They'll say the Chicago Bears are on the clock. They have 15 minutes to make their selection. They're going to take Caleb Williams. They know they're going to take Caleb Williams. We know they're going to take Caleb Williams. They'll take 13 minutes to make that pick. Lock it down. Lock it down. It's a tradition every year. You know who's going first? And they take their sweet time making that selection.
One letter at a time.
Every single year. Let's consult the Ouija board here and see who we're going to take here in the first round. Yeah, it's always that way. Now, I think we're getting closer to consensus here on Jaden Daniels, which, one, makes me happy as a guy who came on this show a long time ago and said, I hope they take Jaden Daniels. Two, makes me nervous because we've had some real red flags this week with the Topgolf situation, the agent situation. In the attempt to cool down the heat, I don't think we've cooled down any of the heat, right? The publicist, the statement now, he understands he'll go to the team where he's drafted. He's fine going where he's drafted. And then Diana Russini, we love Diana Russini. We hung out with her at Bud Light Big Game Week at the Super Bowl. She's great, DC native. And today puts out, he in his ideal world, he would go to the Raiders or the Vikings, but he's good with anything. That's not, what did I say, 34 hours away? We're 30 whatever hours away. I don't know. We're 34 hours away from the draft. And the best we can do is, I'd like to be somewhere else, but I understand I don't have a choice. If you understand this is where you're going, this is not a great start to the relationship. Not a great first step here. Somewhere between, you know, I'm excited to go to the Commanders and I refuse to go to the Commanders, right? If those are our two poles, we're a lot closer to the middle than I'd like to be for a number two selection who's going to define the franchise. Will it matter? I don't know that it will ultimately. If anything, it's something we'll bring up in 4 years, hopefully, when it's time for contract negotiations and it's like, is he going to make a play to get out of here? Is he going to re-sign here? Does he secretly want out? But that's so long from now. There's a lot going on. The other thing that scares me is all the information is coming from outside the organization. And we'll do the mock draft at 11:40, and that's recorded so I can talk about what's happening during it now. That's not going to be live. But Ben Standig was pointing out, you know, this is a lot of people talking amongst themselves. And there's a game of telephone. Somebody talks to somebody who talks to somebody who talks to somebody, and then all of a sudden, everybody's saying it's Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. And that's not that there's not legitimacy behind that. I know there's legitimacy behind that. I think you've picked up on that by now. But there's not certainty behind that. And those are different things with the draft in one day. And we'll dive into this. The name to watch here is J.J. McCarthy. It's not Drake May, in my opinion. But I want to play this clip. This is Daniel Jeremiah. He is the NFL Network's draft analyst. And his job is to tell you what's going to happen in the draft. And he breaks down tape and he analyzes players and he talks to people. Let's play the clip first. Here he is. This is what the Commanders will do at number two, Daniel Jeremiah.
When you're doing these mock drafts, I try to do that with my ears and what I'm hearing. And then you rank the players as I see them and what I think there. As we, you know, certain teams you have more, there's more out there on, people around the league are talking and I'm buying it. With that one, I was like, everything in my gut was kind of saying, nah, this feels like Washington, Drake May, kind of bigger, more physical guy. It kind of fits them a little better. I had talked to people that, you know, had been discussing this with Dan Quinn and his buddies around the league. And they said, he kept talking about, I need to find my Matt Ryan. And I went to Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. So that's why I was kind of hung up on, and I was sitting there going like, okay, well, that feels like Drake May it would be kind of more that type of player. So that's why I've been thinking this whole process that Drake May, you know, fits better with Washington. And then now as you're coming down the home stretch, it's like, okay, there's too much. Like it's some point in time, it's like I can't inject my own personal opinion here. This is just overwhelming that everybody's that I talk to is saying that it's going to be Jaden. So that's why I have it there now.
All right, break that down for a second. His job is professionally to figure out who the Commanders are going to draft. He put in the work. He puts in lots of work. He watches tape. He does, you know, he talks to people around the league. And he came to the consensus that the Commanders, he thinks, are going to take Drake May. And then what was the last 10 seconds of that clip? But then I called a bunch of people and everybody said, now they're going to take Jaden Daniels. So I switched my mock draft and I have them taking Jaden Daniels. Right? That's dangerous. We're in a dangerous place here. We've got a consensus pick that appears to be based on people talking to each other. And I don't think Adam Peters is part of this conversation and part of this talking. And I throw out the Dan Quinn part. I think Dan Quinn will have a voice here, but I don't think he's the voice. I don't think he's even going to have a third of the voice. I think this is about what's best for the long-term football team, Commanders. I think this is about how do they succeed in the long term, not how does Dan Quinn's life get easier this year or next year. Because, oh, you know, Drake May, he needs a year to develop. Like, great. They've got time. They just bought a football team. They don't need to win next year. They're fine. They don't need to win next year. They can take their sweet time with that. But that's dangerous. This is a professional guy who's one of two guys who does this for a living. And he's like, I thought they'd take Drake May, but then I got bullied into changing my pick to Jaden Daniels. Right? That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing there. Yeah, I did a lot of work, but then everybody else in the class had the same answer, so I changed my Scantron. Erase it. I had Jaden Daniels too. Can you show your work? No. Because I did the work, and that's not the answer I got. But everybody else says Jaden Daniels. And look, I think it'll be Jaden Daniels too. I'm just not ruling out a surprise. Now, the big thing for me is there's way too much J.J. McCarthy buzz right now. That's a big problem here. I think it's a little irresponsible to take him at two. I'm coming around on it if they want to do it, just because I don't think he makes it past the Giants at six. I said yesterday, I stand by it, I would love to trade with the Raiders. That's my dream scenario. It's draft night. They trade with the Raiders. They get pick number 13, and they use it to take J.J. McCarthy, and they get future picks from a team that's not going to be good. The Raiders could win some games, but are not going to win a Super Bowl. They're probably not going to win their division because Patrick Mahomes is in it. That makes your draft pick better in the future. I would love to trade with the Raiders. Here's the problem, though. That's a fun game to play on sports talk radio 34 hours before the draft. That's a career-defining botch. If you make that trade, we're going down to 13, and it's your turn at 13, and J.J. McCarthy's not available, if somebody else has taken him between 3 and 12, you are in deep trouble at that point. I don't even know how you salvage that at that juncture. That happened once. That was, I don't know if the statute of limitations is over on this or not, but my understanding is one of the Scott McLuhan years, he had his guy, he was locked in on his guy, he knew his guy would be there when they were picking, and he got taken a couple picks before, and he panicked, and so he traded down a spot to get time to think. He wanted a receiver, he had two receivers he liked, he traded down, figured he'd sort it out. One of the receivers got taken, says, all right, the decision's easy for me, I'll take the other one. That was Josh Doctson. That did not end well. That was... It's funny, like, I was about to say that was one of the worst picks in recent memory for the Commanders, and it was. There's just so many to choose from, though. His other draft, by the way, Scott McLuhan, who was arguably the best Redskins general manager of the last 25 years, not counting Adam Peters in the non-Adam Peters division, had two drafts, and one of them, that happened, and he ended up with a wide receiver who didn't even like playing football. Yeah. In the other one, he took Brandon Scherff at five, who is a great player, but a guard, a position you can get a dime a dozen later in the draft, leading to the famous Jay Gruden line 2 years later. Jay, you know, why does your team stink? And he, well, it's hard to win when you got two first-round picks, and one doesn't play, and one's a guard. Jay was always willing to cut straight to the chase, and that's what happened there. But the reporting has solidified on they're going to make a pick. They're not going to trade. And look, I get that. It's easy for me to say I would trade. It's hard to trade in that chair. You've waited your whole life to be an NFL general manager. You're an NFL general manager on draft night. And McCarthy could be there at 13, but if he is, I promise you this. I'm not going to take a victory lap on Friday. I'm going to be like, yeah, he was there at 13. You should have made the trade. I get it. It's a high-stakes game. You can't start your tenure by getting fired at your first NFL draft. I get it. So I think it's Jaden Daniels, but we got a lot of smoke. We'll dive into that later in the program. We'll circle back on this at 11:15. But I want to talk a little bit about the rest of the teams, the other 31 on the other side, and some smoke about over-involved ownership in New England. What does it all mean? This is MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Wednesday morning, rolling right along, talking NFL draft, because that's what we do. Big morning here. So Svetitz will be here at 11, as he always is. Mike Svetitz, frontpagebets.com. We got the beat writer mock draft coming up at the end of hour number two, which you'll enjoy. You'll hear from all your favorite Commanders reporters on what they think the Commanders will do. And Stubb and AWOD just swung by for a few. That was fun. I get a chance to see them bright and early. They are both here earlier than normal.
They are.
Yeah. So
they both have a little sleep in their eyes.
I think it's because we weren't here yesterday. I think everybody's raring to go. Everybody's feeling good.
Yeah.
Got the day off. We had that grueling one-day work week on Monday, mm-hmm. and now we're back at it. And we're pushing towards the NFL draft, which I've been talking about for months, but now it's here and it's real. And instead of a celebratory week, we've got a week of, is the guy still mad about what happened at Topgolf? So that's not great. Before we forget, let's play clip five, because Drake May actually talked about the Topgolf situation on Kevin Clark's show, This Is Football, on ESPN. I feel like we haven't had an on the ground report from Top Golf Night yet. And this is everything.
Yeah.
This is everything. This is what we're doing right now, is we're talking about the night at Top Golf. It's 34 hours until the NFL draft, and we're talking about that night at Top Golf. It's like when the corporate Christmas party goes off the rails,
yeah,
and it's all anybody talks about for like the next 7 years. Like, remember that night at O'Flanagan's?
Top Golf. Yeah.
Remember Top Golf? We're going to be talking about this in 3 years.
We are.
Jaden Daniels, like, just threw for 4 touchdowns. Like, is he over Top Golf yet? Like, we had a little sore feelings out of the gate. Is it a thing? Yes, it's a thing. It's a thing because this is supposed to be a happy week. They're the number 2 pick. They stunk last year. They were so bad. Every game, we watched it. We lived it. It was so brutally excruciating. And now they get one of the best players to come save their team. And that guy's on TV, and he's on ESPN, and he's talking to Diana Russini. He's saying, what I'd really like is to not be there. I'd like to be somewhere else. But I understand that it's, you know, we're picking teams, it's Foursquare, and if they pick me, I have to go play on their team. That's not a great start. That's not a celebratory week.
Mm-mm.
Not a great spot. Here's Drake May on his impressions of Top Golf.
I actually thought it was one of the cool events I've been on. I think, you know, we always kind of these different places you go and see, kind of a steak dinner spot, and you know, just you're surrounded with, you know, the head coach and GM and quarterback coaches, and then the Commanders took an approach of all of us being together and seeing how we interact, and I'm getting a chance to swing the golf club a little bit. I enjoyed it, you know, be around the other guys. You know, got to meet a lot of different guys throughout the process, and a lot of, you know, guys I saw in high school recruiting. I remember Mary Smith.
Yeah.
I tried to get him committed to Alabama when I was committed there in high school. Again, full circle. I know JJ well, and seeing Jaden and those guys was, you know, I think it was a really cool experience for me. I think,
yeah,
you know, we all got our separate time with the coaches when we need to. It's not like we didn't do any of that. But Top Golf was just a way for us to get out and do something fun the evening before. So,
were you the best golfer there?
I like to say I was. I think I had the best swing, so I think I was hitting it pretty good. So, but JJ McCarthy was hitting it well as well.
Oh, JJ's good too. We got 2 good golfers. Maybe that's why Jaden didn't like it. Maybe because Drake's good at golf, JJ's good at golf. This is his competition.
Yeah,
he was putting an unfair event. It was unfair.
Be happy.
He's set up to lose.
Yeah. But they do have good nachos.
Great nachos.
Yeah.
Top Golf's got good food.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't sleep on Top Golf.
I mean, like we were just saying, there's only so many steak dinners you can eat.
They've also got mini golf down there too.
Do they?
I like a little putt-putt mini golf.
I
don't know if they do in Ashburn, but they do in Richmond. The one kind of underneath the highway there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The highway I was sitting on for half an hour this morning because somebody couldn't cross the bridge correctly.
That's right.
That one.
That one.
That
yeah.
one.
I drove on past that. Looked at all you sad suckers sitting there.
I was the sad sucker sitting there. Yeah. Wait. Yeah. That's Richmond. You're either driving too slow or too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's threading the needle. Yeah. They got mini golf there too. You play the Top Golf, eat the nachos, do the things. If you're doing, because some guys only end up doing like 3 or 4 visits, but like the big name guys, they're doing like 20 visits. I think 20 steakhouses would be too many steakhouses. I think I didn't know if you were saying that facetiously or not. Too many steak dinners.
I'm serious.
Okay.
I mean,
because conceptually, if you're like, hey, Michael, like you can eat dinner at Buckhead's for the next 20 nights.
Yeah.
But you have to eat steak. You can't eat other things on the menu. I'd probably sign up for it. Like at the end of the 20, how would I feel? Maybe differently.
But you're on the plane every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Eating the peanuts, drinking the ginger ale.
Peanuts, steak.
It's a weird life. Man, it's a weird life.
I would be happy to go to Top Golf.
And then at the end of it, you end up in Detroit for 3 nights. It's a weird life. Weird life going on in the NFL draft. It's something. It's not nothing. But I don't think it's enough to scare them off the pick. It's weird because, in a way, they found out what they wanted to find out, which is, can we get this guy out of his comfort zone and how will he react? And the answer was, we can, and not well, which is the information you're looking for. But also, he's still the second best player in the NFL draft. Oops. So is that an error or a hit? I don't know. You were successful, and also you may have screwed up the relationship out of the gate. It wasn't enough to scare him off, I don't think. We'll see. To me, if they take J.J. McCarthy, just the whole night's wild and everybody loses their mind. The Cardinals are a huge winner at that point, right? The Arizona Cardinals get to trade their pick to somebody who needs a quarterback because you're going to have May and Daniel still on the board. I'm just saying it could happen. Not that it will. I'm saying it will happen. I said I wanted to do some national draft talk as well, which I do. I'm most intrigued by all this reporting out of New England that Jonathan Kraft, son of Robert Kraft, longtime owner there, has been heavily involved in the lead up to the draft. And right, when you fire a coach, you go one of two directions. Either he was great and you get the same thing, or he was not great and you do the exact opposite. Those are the two head coach hiring mechanisms, right? So it's fascinating to me. They fire Bill Belichick. They have the opportunity, and I think we would all agree Bill Belichick was successful during his tenure. They have the opportunity to just keep it running, to go to Tennessee, to grab Vrabel, to just keep a Belichick-style operation right. They went the opposite way. They went with a coach they can boss around. They're ready to call some shots. They're ready to reclaim their team. Now, how will that work? I don't know, because they haven't called shots in 30 years. The league has changed. Maybe they'll be really good at it. Maybe the Patriots will fall into the, you know, fall into the drink pretty quickly here. I don't know. We'll see. But it's fascinating to me. They're taking back this team. I think that means they will make a pick at 3. And so after all this talk, all these teams that want to trade up, your 2 and 3 teams, the Commanders and the Patriots, appear to be staying put for now. Because that's the owner move is always take the star, market the team around him. Belichick's move, of course, would be trade back. I want lots of picks. I want lots of players. I think they're reclaiming this team. Michael Penix, will he be in the first round? You always hear, right, like 10 offensive linemen are going to go in the first round. 6 quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. There's going to be a run on corners. There's going to be 6 add up the numbers, and they're not going to equal 32. So somebody's not going to get picked in the first round that you say. Now, I think J.J. McCarthy feels like a lock to go in the first round at this point. I don't know that Penix is. I do know he's a really good solution for a team like the Vikings, who need a plug-and-play answer right now. I'm looking at the Vikings at 11 with Michael Penix. The question is that going to be perceived as a reach or not? It is, but you pick where you pick, and you want who you want, right? That was McLuhan's thing when he took Brandon Scherff, right? Like, I didn't care if I was picking 5 or 15. I wanted Brandon Scherff. I wanted him to come set the tone on the offensive line, so I was going to take him. Now, you can line up a lot of really smart people in the room who'd say, that's stupid. But also, he's the one running the football team, and if that's who he wants, that's who he wants. I think Penix may slide back into the first round. I'm drawing the line, though. Some of these guys have ridiculous amounts of hype, and it's got to go. Your Spencer Radlers and your Bo Nixes, they're not first-round picks. You've got 5 first-round quarterbacks. I don't see a 6th, right? You got Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. I think Penix slides in. I think the 5th-year option's really nice on a quarterback. That's it, though. They're not going to be more than 5 in the first round. The other thing has been all this talk about competition at wide receiver, which is there are 3 great players here. Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze of Washington, and Malik Nabers, the LSU kid. They're all really good. This talk of who's the best is silly. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. The reason you're hearing this is the other two did the pre-draft process. Marvin Harrison Jr. at the end of the year peaced out and said, I'm going to go practice for the pros. I'm not doing the combine. I'm not doing pro day. I'm not coming to do I'm not eating the steaks. I'm not getting on the plane. I'm not drinking the ginger ale. If you want me, here's my phone number. You know where to find me on draft night. Because of that, we have to have all this talk the other way about, well, look at this, what this guy did at the combine. Look at what this guy did at his pro day. The reason Marvin Harrison Jr. did that, because he's going to be the best. And I think that's firmly true and remains true. He'll be the number one guy. And that he should be the number one receiver. And if you take another receiver before him, you're going to regret it. I feel comfortable standing on that take. Also, I cannot believe the Broncos traded for Zach Wilson. The Broncos are so dumb. I love it. They're my favorite team to pick on right now. Apologies to the Carolina Panthers. We'll get back to them eventually. I cannot believe they would actually put Zach Wilson on the roster. That's incredible to me. Ha ha to the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton, this thing's going down in flames. I kind of enjoying it. Kind of enjoying it after all his comments last year. Reminder, 11 o'clock. Mike Svetis joins us every Wednesday from Front Page Bets. We love him. 11:40, very special segment. Commanders beat writers give their draft predictions in a round-robin, round-table format. You won't want to miss that. AWOD Radio, of course, live and local starting at noon. This is 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Flying right along on a Wednesday morning, getting ready for the NFL draft tomorrow night. Flying Squirrels baseball, of course, right here on The Fan tonight. AWOD Radio, noon to 3, live and local. Grant and Danny drive you home. You know where you are. It's 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Hey, it's a very important update for you here, because yesterday we didn't have the show. Well, I was free to do whatever I wanted.
Yes.
My wife and I went on the Richmond Garden Tour.
Ooh.
Which is the number one way to, like, you can just hear the audience cranking up right now. This is the number. We were walking around. You just go walk around people's houses and gardens.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's cool.
Sounds like a walk.
Remember Cribs on MTV?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Okay.
Somebody had in their backyard an alpaca. Yeah.
A live alpaca?
Live alpaca. Just hanging out south of Carey Street down there. Was in the neighborhood where the rich people live. Windsor Farms.
Oh.
Yeah. So we just got an alpaca hanging out in their backyard.
Not for long.
it's got
I'm
an
about
eye.
To have an alpaca.
Got an eye on the alpaca. Yeah. Did you have alpacas back in the day?
No alpacas.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Way better than a horse, though.
Anything's better than a horse.
All right. Next week is Kentucky Derby week, which I'm not going to do Kentucky Derby segments or anything, but we've got they reach out. Remember when we had White Randy Moss on the show?
I do.
During Super Bowl week, Bud Light Big Game week.
How could I forget White Randy Moss?
White Randy Moss, yeah. So now I'm on the NBC horse racing email list.
Okay.
And so when the race ends, they do an interview with the jockey, but the woman who does the interview is riding a horse.
Oh.
And like rides up to the other horse to say, you know, what'd you think of today's race? Holds out the microphone.
There's
for the
no better way to do that.
We're talking to that woman who rides the horse after the race.
That is awesome.
That's her gig.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a good interview.
I hope she's got some great anecdotes about her horse.
Right?
Does she ask the horses questions? I don't know.
The horse declined the horse declined comment for the 146th consecutive
Fine.
Year. Fine. There's not all that talkative. Yeah. But I thought you would appreciate the
I'm very excited.
There. All right. You had issues with animals the other day, though. You rode the bull.
I did ride the bull. Listen.
mechanical bull.
The mechanical bull. Not a real bull. No real horns. The horns were actually inflated, so I thought that was nice. You didn't stab yourself, you know, when everyone falls.
That is a nice touch, actually.
Yeah. They thought that through.
The legal department thought that one through.
Yeah, we're going to get sued here. No, my issue was...
You got hurt riding a mechanical bull?
I fell, and I fell hard, okay? The bruise is big. The bruise is a serious bruise. And I need advice because I can't be, you know, bad.
You have
at
a
this.
Reputation.
Yeah, I have a reputation to uphold.
Yeah.
I can't be falling off the bull. I saw them. Some of them are really good at it. They're leaning back, you know, rocking into it.
Ooh.
I know. It's a whole strategy. If anybody knows, I'm taking tips.
How do you ride a mechanical
bull?
I can't tell you. I get bucked. So I get bucked so quickly, though, I don't get hurt. So... Two steps ahead.
That was my issue. I was holding on too tight.
You're hanging on for dear life. Yeah. You were trying to win. I don't have a reputation to uphold. Nobody's like, BetMP's pretty good at riding mechanical bulls. No, nobody's ever once thought that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Country boy from Kansas, but not...
So you, I would think yes.
I've been to rodeos.
Uh-huh.
I've not participated in rodeos.
No mutton busting for you?
No mutton busting for me. I'll wear the makeup and distract the, you know,
okay,
that's as close as I would get to being involved in any sort of rodeo event.
Where they
do the lasso and they like, I mean...
That's bold that you want to be a rodeo clown before you wanted to do.
I would... In an either or where you can ride the bull or be the clown.
I'm riding the bull.
It didn't... When, you're ready for the major leagues. You're still in the minor leagues.
I mean, I'm not getting stabbed.
Yeah.
But you're on the ground running from the bull?
Yeah.
I only have two legs. I'm not going to be running from a four-legged beast.
Those bulls are angry.
That's ridiculous.
The rodeo's cool,
with paint
though.
On my face?
When I covered UVA, the rodeo came through Charlottesville. We'd always go go watch. Rodeo's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, injuries at the rodeo.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's an injury-filled sport.
Paramedics on the side for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Lots of first aid kits at the rodeo.
We have a Band-Aid and Neosporin. Does that help? I've been gored.
There's a bull's horn sticking out of me.
All right. If you know how to ride the bull, check in with Hazel.
Please help me.
We need answers on
this. Because I'm not being the clown. I need help getting on the bull.
I
That was a thing. It was very hard to get on the bull. Everyone agreed on this. We discussed it afterwards. So what's the hardest part of riding the bull? Getting on.
Getting off's not the hardest part.
No, that was very easy, actually. Definitely the easiest part.
Does the operator have a say in this, too? Is it a pre-programmed pattern, or is the operator working over there like, I'm going to throw this person. They look like they grew up on a farm. Like, I'm going to show them what's what.
Yeet. Maybe.
Or
yeah,
like,
there definitely was a guy. He could be messing with the
controls.
Or
like, you know, I'm going to take it easy on this person because I could buck them right away. Like, I'm going to toy with them for a minute.
It does feel like that, because sometimes it's a little surprising how long you're on there.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not this good at this. How am I still riding this bull?
Yeah.
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 I see that.
We didn't even have time for my chess update from this morning.
Oh my God, what we have to tell the people.
I beat a bunch of little kids at chess this morning.
You destroyed a bunch of little kids at chess this morning.
I did my part. My kids are in chess club at their school, and I went over there. One of the kids smack-talked me, all right? So without, I'm not
deserved.
I'm not good at chess, but I know where all the pieces go. Like, I played with my grandpa, is my memories of chess, and like, he's not alive, but even if he were, he could still beat the snot out of me. Like, he was good. He'd toy with me.
Yeah.
But I can handle the kids. So, you know, you got a 7-year-old smack talking you. What are you going to do? You got to show him what's up.
They asked for it.
This MP on the mic. We don't got to bring your A game.
You're not here to play around.
I'm not here to play around. No way. We got another hour of MP on the mic. That's right. Not here to play around we are. Mike Svenitz joins us on the other side. Lots more draft talk ahead. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. NFL Draft Heavy Edition of MP on the Mic. Lots going on out there. Jaden Daniels becoming, I think, the consensus pick to the Commanders, although you can't rule out something crazy happening, because as we talked about, all the information is circular. Because when the clock comes on Thursday night, they're going to make a pick. They're not going to trade the pick. But do you take the guy who's a little miffed at you, even though he's high on your board, or do you move down the list? It's an interesting discussion. It's an interesting time. We've got one more show before the draft. That's tomorrow's show. Party Time, which is Fridays on this program, has been moved to Thursday. Tomorrow, we'll do Party Time tomorrow. He's in Detroit for the NFL draft because his guy, Jerome Bettis, is a Detroit, you know, hometown guy. They're going to go party with the bus. I said, you don't need to be waking up Friday morning to get on this show. And he agreed.
You're kind.
Yeah. So we'll get him on Thursday, and then we'll get a recap everything that happened Thursday night. Eventually, we'll let him sleep in, though. It's the right thing to do. Another guy who we enjoy having on every week is Mike Svenitz of Front Page Bets. He joins us now. Mike, what's up?
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey, we are doing good radio here because we got a lot to talk about. It's NFL draft season. The rumors fly. I loved tracking the betting markets with Jaden Daniels, because everybody's kind of he's the second best. The Commanders are picking second. He'll be second off the board. And then we had this Topgolf fiasco where he's unhappy, and now he wants to go to the Raiders. And then the lines swing, and Drake May is the favorite for a minute. And now we're right back. Jaden Daniels is minus 400 again. I don't know if it means anything. I just love getting meaningful movement this late in the process after a Topgolf visit.
We've got to keep it interesting for everybody. You know, obviously Caleb Williams will go number one, but who will go number two to the Commanders? That's the question. And like you said, it was you had a flop. I think Drake May got to like minus 250 yesterday or the day before, and now he's back to plus 400 as the number two pick. He's pretty much a lock at number three. J.J. McCarthy is about 450 for the third pick. But yeah, it's April and we're talking NFL, and you know it's silly season, right?
Like, yeah,
you
got,
right after the season's over, it's silly season because who's going to coach where? And then you know, 24 hours before the NFL draft, you got to have another little silly season.
And you know, the NFL draft is the best TV event because it lasts 4.5 hours, and it definitely could be an email. Right,
it definitely needs to be. Yeah, exactly.
It's the meeting that could have been an email in the office, but the best was the year I remember. The year they got like a former player from every team to do the second round pick,
yep.
And they all went up there like cutting a wrestling promo. They They give people their money's worth. It's a show. The other favorite was the year they were in Nashville and it disrupted the bachelorette parties. Remember that?
That was the great. That was the greatest thing in the world. When they were in that. The brides and the bridesmaids were super upset that they had the NFL had the audacity to descend on their bachelorette party weekend.
The NFL stomps on a lot of people and a lot of you like NBA has Christmas. No, you don't anymore. We play on Christmas now. Nope. That's a group you got to be touchy with, though.
Tell you what, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
There we go. Now we're talking. Exactly. Mike Smeditz joins us on Wednesdays. Frontpagebets.com is the site. Of course, lots going on there. And we were mentioning the Kentucky Derby in the previous segment, which I'm sure we'll talk about next week. That's a big horse racing has kind of been the tentpole gambling event. Of course, now you got a lot of other things, but I know you'll be ready for the Derby too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, coming up next weekend, they'll post the 20 top horses that they'll have will come out, I think, Saturday, and the odds will come out Monday or Saturday, vice versa. And, you know, it's interesting to note there's a lot of states that, you know, there was horse racing has been legal, but no gambling, no brick and mortar gambling, no online gambling. So it's a little bit more, I guess, mainstream for some of the states like Florida, you know, now that they are legal, at least with Hard Rock. But, you know, some of these states that you could go to the horse track or the greyhound track and bet, but there's no casino. You know, so I think that this is the event, obviously the first leg of the Triple Crown is the most important, is the biggest one. And, you know, a lot of people are interested in it. And we did a story posted last, you know, on Sunday and, you know, people were hungry for it two weeks before the start of that race. And, you know, people are talking about the Derby and what will we see? Will we see another long shot like we did a couple years ago, 80-1, or will we see the favorite? So it'll be interesting as it gets closer to talk more about the run for the roses.
All right, you know my guy Derby Bill. He was a handicapper at Colonial Downs forever. Derby Bill loves this show, so I'm sure he's listening. And we love Derby Bill. I'll tell the story because, you were the sports editor at the newspaper, then I was a sports editor at the newspaper. Derby Bill picks the race, right? Because he's Derby Bill. What function does he have in life if not picking the horses of the Kentucky Derby?
And your name's not Derby Bill unless you're picking the Derby. I'm sorry. That's just what your lot in life.
So one year I post online, Derby Bill makes his Kentucky Derby picks. Here are the picks. And people like Derby Bill's picks. I don't want this misconstrued, but whatever happened, like nobody knows how Google works. Like no man could possibly get into the mind of the Google algorithm. But for whatever reason, it decided that day that this was the most important Kentucky Derby story in America. And so when people typed in Kentucky Derby, the first result they got was visit the Richmond Times-Dispatch for Derby Bill's Kentucky Derby picks.
Man.
And it was like if it wasn't the number one story of the year on the website, it was a top 10 story in terms of traffic on the Times-Dispatch website that year.
I tell you what, that is like people pay for that spot. You know what I mean?
Right. Derby Bill. There are entire groups of people whose job in life is to get to number one on Google, and Derby Bill accidentally lived there for 8 hours.
Hey, this is another. He's a Hall of Famer. This is just another notch in the belt. This is just another thing, an arrow in his quiver, right here, number one on Google, and probably one of the most searched terms in the world when it comes to, you know, horse racing, or even that this week of the. You know, the week of the Derby, that, you know, Kentucky Derby odds, that's a pretty high searched term right there.
It's a juicy search right there. Mike Smeditz knows that. Of course, you know to just go to frontpagebets.com when you need any information in the world of sports betting. Mike, you mentioned Hall of Fame. We were at the Hall of Fame on Saturday. We got nine people inducted into the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame. Lovely night. Big win for our guy Dennis Bickmeyer out there. Facility was nice. And Bickman, he rolls out the red carpet for us. We had crab cakes and what's the fancy thing where they put the steak inside the pastry? I forget.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. Oh, those are the beef. Not beef Wellington. What was it?
Yeah.
It was something. It was good though.
I want to say bourguignon, but I don't think that's it either. Neither of us know what it was. We just know we pounded a lot.
We just ate it. We know we're sports writers, so if there's food, we're standing in the line. We're going to eat. You know, it's like they always say: if it's free, take three, and we took more than three.
We ran him out of business. Beef Wellington, by the way, nicely done. That was the
correct. Hey, I'm just trying to help you out.
Put it on the board. Yeah, you were slow playing it, but you knew. I love it. All right. But I thought our guy, Paul Woody, who we talked about last week, all the things he's done, had just a great speech. And you know, so, like, you realize how meaningful the night is to all those people as well, watching them get in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. You know, and I, you know, Paul worked at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Richmond News Leader, for 40 years. And you know how it is, Michael. And it's hard to explain unless you've done the job. You know, everybody, you know, you always get that, oh, if you need somebody to carry your notebook or your pencil on the sideline, you know, you get that joke from people and they think it's the most glamorous job in the world, which it is. Don't get me wrong. It beats working. But it's a long, you know those days at, you know, it's funny because it's a lot of travel. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. It's a lot of sitting there waiting for kickoff. I mean, you get 3 hours of a game and you're there for 15. You know what I mean? Like on Sundays, you know how long those Sundays can be, those Saturdays, Friday nights, you know, during the season. And you know, to do that for 40 years and to do it at his level and to be so recognized and so beloved. And it's not just, and I've said this before, but it's not lip service. Paul is a Hall of Famer as a journalist, as a sports columnist, but he's even a better guy. And, you know, it was just so great to see him up there getting recognized and, you know, sharing the stage with Chris Long and Craig Littlepage and Jill Ellis, for crying out loud. Two World Cup, you know, championships, two World Cups as a coach for the U.S. women's team. I mean, you know, and then the leading scorer at University of Virginia and Monica Wright Rogers. And so it's like, you know, this was not a puny class. This wasn't like, oh, we need some people to stand up here. This was a massive class. And the fact, and LeSean Mayer, let's think, I mean, three gold medals, you know, probably the best runner and, you know, the best athlete in the world for 3 years, you know, for three different Olympics. And so it was just awesome to see. It was a great night. It was great for our guy, the Woodman, to be up there and recognize, you know, how much it meant to him. And it meant a lot to us. You know, obviously you and I talked about it, and it was great to see guys like Victor and Tim Farrell and Weldon Bradshaw and Jerry and those guys. And so, you know, it was an amazing night, fun night. Couldn't be prouder. And now we just got to get, I think you and I got to figure out who the next guy we got to get in.
We're going to work down the list. Don't you worry about that. We'll go to work. Michael, go to work. Frontpagebets.com. It's your spot, NFL draft. NBA, NHL playoffs. Anything I'm missing there, Mike?
No, man. We still rolling. Still NASCAR. Don't forget NASCAR.
I always forget
it's
NASCAR.
It's over this week.
I won't do it. Is that the Monster Mile?
No, that's Michigan. This one is the Dover, the worst 400 air at Dover, the concrete oval. Come on, Michael, get it right. Let's go.
Man, you got beef Wellington. I thought I was going to get one too. Instead, it's one to negative one. I got to cut my losses here before I take another L. All right, we'll chat with you next week. Thanks for dropping by, Mike.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Off he goes. Mike Svetitz, frontpagebets.com is the site. We're back after this. 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Look, this show isn't about me being correct, because I'm wrong a lot. I make a lot of predictions. I'm not always right. But sometimes, I am right. And do you know what the Monster Mile is in NASCAR? It's freaking Dover. Let's go. My NASCAR knowledge will not be challenged on my program unless you have literally any other NASCAR questions, which I will almost certainly fail to answer. Did you see the Michael Jordan clip, though, on Sunday? Michael Jordan's driver won the NASCAR race.
Oh.
And I feel like it's maybe Tyler Reddick, but it's probably not. That's not. I'm not staking my reputation on that. Dover's the Monster Mile. I'm good for NASCAR knowledge for the day. Anyway, Michael Jordan's driver won. He owns NASCAR teams. He owns the Bubba Wallace team and the Southern team.
You were right, again.
Tyler Reddick?
Mm-hmm.
Freaking NASCAR expert here. And so he's celebrating with him, and they're like walking off to the private jet. And like, we're going to get so hammered on this plane, boys. Let's go.
Oh.
He's just like hyping them up. Like, we are going to get so drunk on this plane home. My first NASCAR win. Like, he's fired up.
All right.
Yeah. Michael Jordan loves him some NASCAR.
Woo.
Yeah.
I mean, love to watch those circles.
Love to watch Michael Jordan watch the circles. That's
the best part of NASCAR.
That's what we actually love around here. He got his first NASCAR win. He's excited. He's fired up.
Very exciting.
Got some Bud Lights on the private jet home. Why not?
You win a NASCAR race and your drink is Bud Light?
Well, it's probably Busch Light in NASCAR. Honestly,
okay.
Brandon Sheriff. number five overall pick for the Commanders back in the day. Big Busch Light guy.
Oh.
Big Busch Light guy. He's the biggest Busch Light guy I've ever known. He's like a hunter from Iowa. Like, that's what in the offseason, he used his NFL money to buy a big piece of land out in Iowa, and he goes hunting every summer and drinks Busch Lights. And it's like, when the season's that's over, it's like, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to turn off my phone. I'm going to go out to Iowa. I'm going to hunt things and drink Busch Light. Don't call me. Like, I know when OTAs start, I'll be here. Don't call me between now and then. And if you're good enough, you can do that. If you're good enough at what you do in life, you can set terms like that. And if you're not, you got to show up to optional workouts, to the circuit, you know, to training sessions. But if you're that good at what you do in life, you can do that. The day the season ends, go tell the coach, I am turning my phone off, going to the middle of Iowa, I'm going to shoot some pheasants and drink Busch Light. I know what day first practice is. I'll be here. I'll be in shape. Don't worry about me. But don't call me between now and then. Don't even think about it.
Phone is off.
Yeah. Why not? If you can.
Good
why
for
not?
Him.
Jaden Daniels, that's the topic today, obviously. As this Topgolf thing creates a little friction on what should be a fun week for Commanders fans. Because I think one of the things that's gotten buried here is they're actually pretty lucky to be at number two in this year's draft. And they might take Drake May and they might take J.J. McCarthy. And you certainly see a lot of people out there saying that it's a very muddy 2-3-4 position. But you also see a lot of people out there saying there were two good quarterbacks this year. And that means the Commanders are going to get one of them. So Todd McShay, he and Mel Kiper were ESPN's team. He got laid off at ESPN. So the deal is he can't be on TV anywhere this week because of his non-compete. So he's like doing the podcast circuit and all that. He was on Pardon My Take, you know, very popular sports podcast. This is what he had to say about Jaden Daniels at the number two spot.
I promise you, of the dozens of calls that I've made from January to now, with guys in the league, general managers, personnel directors, scouts, all over the league, there isn't one person I've spoken to that believes that Drake May should be drafted number two over Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
I even talked to teams going back to February, where teams were like, yeah, we're still debating between Caleb and Jaden at number one, okay? So it was like that first tier has been for teams has always been kind of Caleb and Jaden. And then the second tier is Drake. And then the third tier is J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, and you got J.J. And I think there's a very reasonable debate, right? J.J. McCarthy represents an unknown. And that's the most dangerous thing for an NFL general manager, right? Is to take the unknown. Because if it doesn't pan out, everybody gets mad at you, right? Well, you knew there was no track record there. What were you thinking? But if you hit, I mean, good for you. You can stake your reputation on that. Like, you think about John Schneider in Seattle, finds Russell Wilson, round three, life's good. But now, we're talking about J.J. McCarthy at 6, at 11, at 13. That's a franchise-defining, legacy-defining thing. And that's, as I mentioned in the first segment, that's why they're going to turn in the card for Jaden Daniels and not trade. It's easy for me to sit here and say, if I were the general manager of the Washington Commanders, I would trade the pick. And I do think that's the right decision. The right decision tomorrow night for the Washington Commanders is to trade the pick, I believe, to the Raiders. I keep saying the Oakland Raiders. I'm never coming around on that. They're in Las Vegas now. Good for them. The Las Vegas Raiders. That's the correct decision. The reason you can't do that is because you're playing one too many guessing games. One, Jaden Daniels isn't going to be good. Two, the Raiders are going to give you good picks in the future. Three, your guy's going to be there at 13 when you get to pick now. And your guy can be one of two people. When you go to 13, you're either getting J.J. McCarthy, which I would feel great about, or one of the two left tackles, Joe Alt and Olu Fashanu. Those are the two you can play right away. They're two draft-ready tackles. It's just a little too risky. If all three of those guys are gone by 13, thanks for playing, you're fired. We're on to the next general manager. You botched having the number two overall pick in the draft, first thing you did. You can't do that. It's too risky. I get that. Jaden Daniels is the safe play in a lot of ways, notwithstanding what happened there. Now, it gets fun with the next two picks because they got two at the top of Friday's round. I think a lot of people think AWOD apparently started this, so congrats to AWOD. I think they will move
back into the first round and grab another guy. The problem is the expectation game. You'll hear Ben Standing when we do the Beat Writer Roundtable at 11:40. Hey, there's only two guys who are ready at left tackle, right? There's only two guys, and they're going to be gone. You come back and you get Amarius Mims, right? The Georgia kid. He needs a year. Roger Rosengarten, Washington. He protected Penix's blind side. He needs a year. Patrick Paul from Houston, honestly, might need 2 years. Mims might need 2 years. Those are long-term games. You're trying to not kill Jaden Daniels this year, right? And you see the highlights, you see the clips. This dude, would, like, when he gets hit by a defensive player, they have to go pick up limbs in other counties. Like, it's not pretty when Jaden Daniels gets hit. You gotta figure out something at left tackle, because Cornelius Lucas is only going to get the job done for so long. You've got to take one, but you also, if you trade into the first round, I worry you're making a statement that's not going to be an accurate statement about when that guy will be ready to play, which I still don't think, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, I don't think whoever they draft should start week one anyway. We got lots more to cover. We'll do the Beat Writer Roundtable at 11:40. You don't want to miss that. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.